Firstly, thanks a lot for inviting me today. So, has everybody been to Croydon before I start?
And you have not been to Croydon.
And how many of you liked your visit to Croydon? Thank you.
She's Canadian.
Thanks, David. Because the thing about Croydon is that everybody's got a view. Everybody's got a view about Croydon. And, you know, last night I was celebrating with Ben Haynow and the X Factor crew. And they're all down there. You'll see Croydon and stuff going right with X Factor. But what I saw also last night with all the X Factor groupies looking at Ben Haynow was people that were kind of happy that something really good was actually happening in the borough. And I do think there should be a panel discussion on class war analysis between Strictly and X Factor. But let's get back to the question. When I got the question around the panel debate, you know, the thing for me that came out was about, you know, I've been quoted as saying it's easy to build homes, and in some ways it is easy to build homes. The difficulty is building the right kind of homes. And the issue for me is about affordability, and the issue is about quality. And I can see that in Croydon, and I'm going to give you some context. Croydon is the biggest borough in the world, in London. It's got more golf courses than any other borough. It's got some of the biggest poverty in the north of the borough. This crazy 50-60 centre in the centre, and absolute, you know, extreme wealth in the south. It borders onto Greenbelt. And I think Richard Rogers was recently quoted as saying you could fit 5 eco-towns in the centre of Croydon, and you can. But we are also facing some huge pressures. Firstly, we've got some real issues in terms of permitted development. So yes, we are increasing the supply of housing, but it's crap. There is one particular development on Wellesley Road that has just finished and completed a permitted development scheme, and one of the residential units is 14 square metres. Mm-hmm. So yes, we can increase the supply of housing. They've increased it by 300 in the centre of Croydon, but who wants to live there? And what are we trying to create with that? The flip side of permitted development is what happens to the employment land. So it's all right to talk about supply of housing, but how are we going to balance that with everything else you need in a city? Particularly jobs, and we need jobs as much as we need homes in the centre of Croydon. It's true, in the centre of Croydon. The other key thing for us is that, you know, we have over 700 people on the housing waiting list, 700 families in temporary accommodation. We've got 20,000 people on the housing waiting list. We've got the benefits cap situation is affecting all outer London boroughs. A lot of people looking for accommodation. We've also got the home office in Croydon as well, which means we also get a lot of demand from people who are looking for temporary accommodation. So we've got huge need, we've got huge opportunity. So we've got opportunity in the centre of Croydon for an extra 9,500 housing units. But the issue is, how do we make them the right kind of housing for people in Croydon who may want to stay in Croydon, but for other Londoners who can't afford zones 1, 2, 3 and 4. So from my side, what we're doing, just in a nutshell, is we're intervening. And I think there is a case for intervention. But intervention for local authorities and government you need money to do it. So how do we do that? And which is interesting with your RSL completions and what's happening. You know, that's actually decreasing because of grant disappearing. So the issue for us, you know, what have we done? The first thing is we've got an incredible amount of intelligence about the centre of Croydon. I can tell you, we have commissioned development appraisals on every major development site in the centre of Croydon. So when somebody comes to us and through the planning process and argues that they cannot afford putting affordable housing, I can say to them, well, I know you can. So one is we've got intelligence, and that may not seem like innovative, but it is for local authorities. So market information is absolutely key. The second thing we've done is we've set up a revolving investment fund ourselves. So what we have set up is a fund. We have pooled as much capital money as we can together through our own resources and created a fund. And what was interesting coming here, I had a very irate developer in Croydon who found out that we just put an offer on a major site next to his Croydon station, which he had his eyes on. And when he said, why didn't you work with us on that? I said, I've met you three times now, I won't say who it was, and we said that we did not want your type of development in the centre of Croydon, so we're purchasing that site ourselves. And what we want around East Croydon is a mix of commercial and residential, and something that will add to that part of the centre of Croydon. So it's about actually putting your money where your mouth is. So if you're going to intervene, you have to be quite aggressive in that. The third thing is about taking risks. I'm very fortunate. I started at Croydon at the beginning of the year, and it's now moved to a Labour administration who was in opposition for 8 years, who are absolutely hungry to make a difference, which has given me the licence to take risks, like putting offers on large bits of the centre of Croydon. And we're not afraid to use our CPO powers, and that's another thing. You have to, we're in a major, going to CPO inquiry for the new Westfield Hammerson development in February. We're not afraid to use that, and we're in discussions with a number of major landowners in the centre of Croydon who are actually wanting us to use our CPO powers to help them assemble land for housing. But the issue for us, it gets back to affordability. So for us, instead of 20% profit on every scheme, we might take 2%. And that 2% will actually go into our revolving investment fund, and the other amount of money will actually go into subsidising the affordability quotient on that development. So for us, it's kind of looking at a series of things that we can do as an authority, our powers, looking at our ability to generate and borrow money. We can borrow money cheaper than any developer can ever borrow money, to use our CPO powers, and to actually be really proactive about it. Because if we left it all to market forces in the centre of Croydon, if we did nothing but use our planning powers, all we would have would be permitted development, private rental schemes, and that's the only developers coming to talk to me in Croydon are private rental developers. And we would lose all of our jobs in the centre of Croydon. So for me, there is an absolute case for intervention around that. What we've also done, the last bit we've done, is we've wrapped all of that story about our role as a council, what we're prepared to do in terms of putting money, and we were successful in getting into the autumn statement, where our ask to the Chancellor was for him to set up a growth zone, and that will look at three things. One will be about how we actually set up a TIFF-style model to deliver infrastructure that we need, because we need to talk about the infrastructure. Don't have time in my 7 minutes to talk about the infrastructure piece, but look, the infrastructure we need to help fund the development, the right kind of development that we want to see. And thirdly, invest in the people of Croydon as well, to ensure that the commercial development that we do deliver in the centre of Croydon and Westfield Hammerson and the second runway at Gatwick, capturing all of those jobs and ensuring we match that with people who actually live in Croydon now. So thanks.
Thank you.